The first month, getting to know each other, was a little difficult. The second month, trying to come to terms with what they'd got to know about each other in the first month, was much easier. The third month, when the box arrived, was very tricky indeed. At the beginning, it was a problem even trying to explain what a month was. This had been a pleasantly simple matter for Arthur here on Lamwella. The days were just a little over 25 hours long, which basically meant an extra hour in bed every single day, and, of course, having regularly to reset his watch, which Arthur rather enjoyed doing. He also felt at home with the number of suns and moons which Lamwella had, one of each, as opposed to some of the planets he'd fetched up on from time to time, which had had ridiculous numbers of them. The planet orbited its single sun every 300 days, which was a good number because it meant the year didn't drag by. The moon orbited Lamwella just over 9 times a year, which meant that a month was a little over 30 days, which was absolutely perfect because it gave you a little more time to get things done in. It was not merely reassuringly like Earth. It was actually rather an improvement. Random, on the other hand, thought she was trapped in a recurring nightmare. She would have crying fits and think the moon was out to get her. Every night it was there, and then, when it went, the sun came out and followed her, over and over again. Trillian had warned Arthur that Random might have some difficulty in adjusting to a more regular lifestyle than she had been used to up till now, but Arthur hadn't been ready for actual howling at the moon. He hadn't been ready for any of this, of course. His daughter. His daughter. He and Trillian had never even... Had they? He was absolutely convinced he would have remembered. What about Zaphod? Not the same species, Arthur, Trillian had answered. When I decided I wanted a child, they ran all sorts of genetic tests on me and could find only one match anywhere. It was only later that it dawned on me. I double-checked, and I was right. They don't usually like to tell you, but I insisted. You mean you went to a DNA bank? Arthur had asked, pop-eyed. Yes, but she wasn't quite as random as her name suggests, because, of course, you were the only Homo sapiens donor. I must say, though, it seems you were quite a frequent flyer. Arthur had stared wide-eyed at the unhappy-looking girl, who was slouching awkwardly in the doorframe looking at him. But when... How long... You mean, what age is she? Yes. The wrong one. What do you mean? I mean that I haven't any idea.
What?
Well, in my timeline, I think it's about 10 years since I had her, but she's obviously quite a lot older than that. I spend my life going backwards and forwards in time, you see. The job. I used to take her with me when I could, but it just wasn't always possible. Then I used to put her into daycare time zones, but you just can't get reliable time tracking now. You leave them there in the morning, you've simply no idea how old they'll be in the evening. You complain till you're blue in the face, but it doesn't get you anywhere. I left her at one of the places for a few hours once, and when I came back, she'd passed puberty. I've done all I can, Arthur. It's over to you. I've got a war to cover. The 10 seconds that passed after Trillian left were about the longest of Arthur Dent's life. Time, we know, is relative. You can travel light years through the stars and back, and if you do it at the speed of light, then, when you return, you may have aged mere seconds while your twin brother or sister will have aged 20, 30, 40, or however many years it is, depending on how far you travelled. This will come to you as a profound personal shock, particularly if you didn't know you had a twin brother or sister. The seconds that you have been absent for will not have been sufficient time to prepare you for the shock of new and strangely distended family relationships when you return. 10 seconds silence was not enough time for Arthur to reassemble his whole view of himself and his life in a way that suddenly included an entire new daughter of whose merest existence he had had not the slightest inkling of a suspicion when he had woken that morning. Deep, emotional family ties cannot be constructed in 10 seconds, however far and fast you travel away from them, and Arthur could only feel helpless, bewildered, and numb as he looked at the girl standing in his doorway, staring at his floor. He supposed that there was no point in pretending not to be hopeless. He walked over and he hugged her. "I don't love you," he said. "I'm sorry. I don't even know you yet. but give me a few minutes.
What's this?
Arthur had almost given up. That is to say, he was not going to give up. He was absolutely not going to give up. Not now, not ever. But if he had been the sort of person who was going to give up, this was probably the time he would have done it. Not content with being surly, bad-tempered, wanting to go and play in the Paleozoic era, not seeing why they had to have the gravity on the whole time and shouting at the sun to stop following her, Random had also used his carving knife to dig up stones to throw at the picker birds for looking at her like that. Arthur didn't even know if Lamwella had had a Paleozoic era. According to old Thrashbarg, the planet had been found, fully formed, in the navel of a giant earwig at 4:30 one rune day afternoon, and although Arthur, as a seasoned galactic traveller with good O-level passes in physics and geography, had fairly serious doubts about this, it was rather a waste of time trying to argue with old Thrashbarg, and there had never been much point before. He sighed as he sat nursing the chipped and bent knife. He was going to love her if it killed him. Or her, or both. It wasn't easy being a father. He knew that no one had ever said it was going to be easy, but that wasn't the point, because he'd never asked about being one in the first place. He was doing his best. Every moment that he could rest away from making sandwiches, he was spending with her, talking to her, walking with her, sitting on the hill with her, watching the sun go down over the valley in which the village nestled, trying to find out about her life, trying to explain to her about his. It was a tricky business. The common ground between them, apart from the fact that they had almost identical genes, was about the size of a pebble. Or rather, it was about the size of Trillion, and of her they had slightly differing views.
What's this?
He suddenly realised she had been talking to him and he hadn't noticed. Or rather, he had not recognised her voice. Instead of the usual tone of voice in which she spoke to him, which was bitter and truculent, she was just asking him a simple question. He looked round in surprise. She was sitting there on a stool in the corner of the hut in that rather hunched way she had, knees together, feet splayed out, with her dark hair hanging down over her face as she looked at something she had cradled in her hands. Arthur went over to her, a little nervously. Her mood swings were very unpredictable, but so far they'd all been between different types of bad ones. Outbreaks of bitter recrimination would give way without warning to abject self-pity and then long bouts of sullen despair, which were punctuated with sudden acts of mindless violence against inanimate objects and demands to go to electric clubs.